This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pete's here. Like all our guests, he's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. We're going to talk Wolves. Another very impressive victory last night over the Phoenix Suns, 105-93. But first, how's your elbow? How's your elbow doing?
You know what? Pat O'Brien, you know, our doctor that you turned me on to, just left Pat's office. He said he's meeting you later on for a little stroll around Lake of the Isles or something. What are you guys doing? You gonna hold hands?
Yeah, could be. Yeah, I'm. Why not?
we'll
frolic. Yes, yes.
Yeah. Anyway, Pat is amazing, man. He just fixed my elbow like in one session. He did it last year too. One session, we're done.
I love the guy.
Love
the guy. Now, he didn't play the practical joke, then, I take it.
No, he's not like Sheldon Burns. What does he do?
Well, I left Pat a message because I knew you were going in there. By the way, anyone wants to see our guy, Pat, healtharchitect.com. He is the best.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The best.
He's best. So I knew you were
going in. Don't tell people about him. He's already busy enough.
Yeah, that's very good. I was kidding. Don't go see Pat, even though he's the best in the business, and he will cure any issue. Or go just continue to let Jim and I see him. So I called Pat, and I left him voice while I was going to text him. I said, listen, Jim's a really good friend of mine. I know he's coming in for an elbow thing. I want you to do this. I want you to look at Jim's elbow, and I want you to look, like, shocked and concerned. And I want you to tell Jim, you've lost circulation in this area. You need to immediately go to the hospital right now. And 5 seconds later, then say, I'm just kidding. He did not do that, I take it.
Dang it.
No, would that have been a good practical joke? Good or bad?
You give out bad advice. That's not good advice. That would not have been a good practical joke.
I think it would have been.
With a guy that's had as many health issues as I have, I don't need another third one that's coming down the pike.
Yeah, that's what friends are for, practical jokes. All right. Let's get to the two games so far. Let's just start with Jaden McDaniels. McDaniels was scintillating last night. In one of my tweets before the series, I mentioned, listen, when Jaden signed that contract, 5 years, $136 million, and what it kicks in next year, there were expectations that this year that he would improve notably in multiple areas. And his play this year, let's just be honest, was sporadic. There were times,
when
he lived up, and there were times you're like, come on, Jaden. You know, you're not even close. And we know last year when he punches the wall and is unavailable for the playoffs and they missed him mightily against Denver. I'm with the crew who was, you know, you're talking about it. I'm tweeting it, so is everybody else. That was, without any hesitation, the best game of his life. Yes, it's enhanced because of the playoffs. But he played with force. He played with intelligence. He was scoring. He was rebounding. If he's that guy, 80-90% of the rest of the playoffs, the NBA has got a problem with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
I've said that now for 2 years. Jaden's been, at the same time, one of my favorite players, one of my favorite stories, just because, you know, he dropped in the first round. He was going to be a lottery pick, but, you know, there was stuff about his background, like in terms of, you know, some of the anger issues that he's seemingly having at times that caused him to drop in the draft a little bit. But you know what? I mean, like, I love his story. Him and Nas, those two together, and then Jordan McLaughlin, we just got so many great stories. But for Jaden McDaniels, you know, he gives you a great effort. I don't ever feel like he's shortchanging me on the defensive end, Chad. But offensively, he's just so he's seemingly so talented. He's got the great length. He's got great athleticism. He's got great quickness. He's got a good enough handle to get to where he wants to with the basketball. He's got elevation. Like, he's got athletic. I mean, he just has the entire package. And it was almost Andrew Wiggins-like with the disappointment on bringing it every night and bringing it in big moments. And so in games where they're loading up on Ann, or if Carl's not effective or even not playing, you needed Jaden to have more willingness to do the little stuff. And so I don't even mean – forget about making corner threes consistently. I'm saying, like, stuff like – I've been saying this for 2 years with Jaden, is that he needs to corner crash. There's so many guys in the NBA that are they're athletes that they go from the corners, you know, because wing to corner spacing is a thing, right? Five out spacing, four out spacing. And so if you're in that corner, when a shot goes up, if you're shooting it or if it's not happening on your side of the floor, you still should rotate to the elbows. You know what I mean? Like, rotate out of the corner and sprint back to the elbows when the shot goes up. If there's long rebounds, it's going to come to that general area. And then if you don't get it, rotate back on defense. And I'm just saying, it doesn't cost you anything to do that. And Jaden just doesn't do those little fundamental things on a nightly basis. And you've heard Finch now say he's been pounding it into Jaden's head. And he even got into some drill work, some like old school football like drill work of crashing and rotating back. So, you know, if it's taken this long for it to finally sink in, and now he's going to do it for the rest of the playoffs, I'm all about it. But I just think that what he's done these last two games makes Minnesota an NBA champion, formidable type of team.
Yeah,
because other teams don't have the amount of wing depth defensively, and if he's going to add that 14 to 18 point scoring punch, I don't even care if it happens every other game. If that's what's going to happen, I'm all about it, and I think that it makes Minnesota a different level team, for sure.
I want to stay with it because his physicality without fouling. There are so many games where you're calling, you and Michael are calling, where here we go again, he's got two fouls, or he's got four fouls, and he's sitting down, or he's not visible. And that's why I just thought there was a force about him where he understood the line where it's playoff basketball. The whistle was a little quicker last night than it was game one, but it was still playoff ball where they're going to let him play more. You know, he got into the thing where you nailed it on the call last night. He started his first push on Booker was a little more than it should have been, and he deserved the tech. But he after that, he avoided the nonsense, and he was, I mean, ferocity. Going after rebounds, but not just when he's man-on-man with people, you're like, geez, you're just making it so easy for someone to put you in an awkward foul position. And there's just not a lot of teams where all of a sudden you have him at 6'11", you have Alexander Walker at 6'6", you have Ant, who's been very good defensively, then you have Gobert. That is a lot of defense, because we can talk about the individuals, but again, when you're holding Phoenix, and they were missing some open shots, but mainly they were missing those shots because the defense either was there or the presence. That game was about defense, defense, and defense, and that's a lot if you're identifying the players I've identified so far.
And then them not having Grayson Allen really hurts too, because he missed
enormous.
He missed about a third of the first game, and he's missed more than a half of the last game. What did Grayson Allen play? He played 17 minutes.
Yep.
In game two, so
they just don't have numbers. Really,
they were gassed at the end of the game, and I'm just really surprised that Frank Vogel's not gone to. I mean, Isaiah Thomas. I was talking to Eddie Johnson and Tim Kempton after the game, and I'm like, you know, Isaiah Thomas can give you a little bit of time. He can get the ball at the floor at least, and he can initiate offense. I mean, Josh Okogie played, you know, pretty significantly for them during the season. Like, he's all of a sudden, like, you can't even put the guy in the game when your guys are gassed. I mean, it was crazy how much Durant played 41 minutes in the game. Bradley Beal played 42, and Devin Booker played almost 42 as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can't. I mean, I just think that's too much. So, yeah, Chad, you also forgot about Mike Conley, too, defensively, that from a game plan standpoint, yes, he might be undersized, but his switching and the way they kick him out and the way he smartly goes out, and he does the game plan kind of stuff that helps you win. And then Kyle Anderson, you know, Kyle's kind of a really important cog defensively, but I think one of the things that's worked for Minnesota is the fact that Kyle's not been on the floor for stretches of the game where, you know, he didn't play last night, but they don't have to guard him. You know what I mean?
So yeah. Like, right.
You have to guard everybody on the floor now. And so they can't load up and just leave Kyle alone. So while you love Kyle's defense and you love his basketball intelligence and all that kind of stuff, like, the fact that he just wasn't out there in game two, I think might have helped them a little bit from a strategy standpoint, and a spacing standpoint.
Let's pause. Come back with Jim. I want to stay with one of his points, too, about Phoenix. And as talented as their trio is, including one of the 15 best players ever in Kevin Durant, they don't have that many other alternatives. You know, I don't think. I want to see what Jim has to say. It's 2-0. Series is not over. Obviously, Phoenix is still much in play. Wolves should be favored. Absolutely should be favored. Game 3 is Friday. I think it's about a 2:30 a.m. start. No, it's a 9:30 start back here. Back with Pete in moments on CCO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jim Pete is with us. We're playing Tom Petty tunes all day long. Our guy Alan Horton had this tweet a couple days ago, Jim. When the higher seed goes up 2-0, the higher seed wins 93% of the time in seven-game series in NBA history, 93% of the time. So, obviously, the Wolves are the favorites, right, at 2-0. But Phoenix drummed this team three times in the regular season. That cannot be forgotten. I think of those games, Jim, and I think of Phoenix had the Wolves on skates. They were chasing Booker, Beal, Durant, Allen, Gordon. Whereas here, it seems like the Wolves have not. They've been switching from man to man. They're not staying in one guy. They've been on the string, so to speak. They have been caught in mismatches constantly. Phoenix, with their limitations, with Allen, who knows if he's healthy. They don't have a big bench. Knowing Frank Vogel's been in the league for a long time, what will Phoenix try to do differently against the Wolves Friday night?
Well, I thought that they were going to up the physicality against Minnesota because Rudy Gobert was so dominant on the glass. Minnesota really kicked them on the offensive glass. Minnesota had a huge disparity in game one in offensive rebounding, and they really controlled the defensive glass too because they were able to get out and run. And so, you know, the way they were loading up on Ant during the season, they were like showing him 2-3 bodies and having all this gap coverage where if the primary defender were guarding Anthony Edwards, there was somebody in his gap if he went right and somebody in his gap if he went left. They were just completely leaving other guys alone. And that shell defense was really bothering Minnesota. And so the way to get Ant going was to get into transition and have broken floor situations where they can't really load up on him. So controlling the defensive glass was really important, and it's what they weren't doing in the first half. And Ant was pretty ineffective. But thank goodness Jaden and Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert were all operating on all cylinders. So I think they're going to try to, they have to try to up the physicality. I think they also need to maybe try to shoot more threes as well. I mean, they are a good shooting team. Minnesota, is the second best 3-point shooting team by percentage, but Phoenix was the seventh best team, and virtually the numbers of makes and takes were about the same for both teams. So I think that's one area they could probably shoot more threes too. But you're right. They are a movement offense. They are not an isolation basketball team. So
no.
the switching that Minnesota's been able to do, the fact that Towns did not guard Kevin Durant, this season during the regular season. Carl missed, the second game. The first game was a back-to-back situation. The last game, they were just getting Carl back. So none of those three games were really indicative of what Minnesota really was. And, the big number last night, though, Chad, was the 31-2 points off turnovers. I mean,
yeah, I was going there. Crazy. That's an unbelievable stat.
It's a really unbelievable stat. I mean, to turn the ball over, I mean, Minnesota, they turned the ball over 14 times, and Phoenix only scored 2 points off of 14 turnovers.
Yeah, the two is much more notable than the 31.
Exactly. It's almost, I mean, you're basically pitching a shutout. But
yeah,
that means
right.
When you turned it over, you got back and got stops.
Yes.
And so, some of those
broken floors,
those turnovers. Some of those turnovers were not like live ball turnovers, which just led to easy baskets. So, Finch also did something interesting last night because when Carl had 4 turnovers in the game, and he has some silly turnovers. And, yes. you and I text, we're in a bunch of text threads together.
Yeah.
And as soon as he made that last bad pass that sailed out of bounds, He pulled the plug on Carl for the rest of the game, really. I don't think Carl ever got back in.
He should have. I'm going to just jump in on that because he had a couple stretches in game one where it mattered. Then he had a stretch in the third quarter last night where it mattered.
Yes, yeah.
But,
yeah.
Man, we're lowering the bar on Carl. This is a 4-time All-Star. This guy's about to make $60 million. And if he has 2 or 3 stretches, we're like, hey, he was pretty good. No, the bar needs to be higher for Towns, and his 3rd and 4th fouls were just among the dumbest fouls ever. And because so many other guys played well, and even though Ant, like I sent you that text at some point saying, God, he's got 1 made field goal, I still had no problem with how he was moving the ball, and he was decisive, and he was impacting the game. Carl, again, the histrionics and stuff, if everybody else plays at the highest level, sure. But Carl Towns is still a big-time, big-knocker player. And at some point in this series, and if they go on a run, he's going to need to play more consistent throughout the game as opposed to, hey, he had that good second-quarter stretch in game one, and he had that good third-quarter stretch in game two, and outside of that, he did nothing.
You know, Bobby Knight, it's a pretty famous, if you want to YouTube it, you know, who's ever listening wants to YouTube it. It's pretty funny, actually. It's a post-game presser, and Bob Knight, they're talking about, you know, players and the motivation, like how do you motivate a player or whatever. And he's like, you know what? He was like, one of the great motivators is the bench, because the bench communicates messages to players that's very unique. Butt hits bench. Bench, seat of bench communicates to brain that I don't want to sit here. It's yeah. Hilarious how he goes through the machinations.
Yes.
But I say that to say, one of the ways to get through Carl to not do these silly plays is for Finch to pull him out of the game and have him sit on the bench and think about it. We've said that for years.
And now he has options. You know,
yes,
if Jaden, listen, we got to see Jaden do it more often before we're saying this is guaranteed. But if Jaden and Naw, and by the way, he sat Carl down last night in a game where Nas really wasn't much of a factor either. You know?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
We got to talk also about this, too. And Gobert is going to win a Defense Player of the Year for the fourth time. And you've watched him a ton. I've watched him a ton. I don't think he's ever been better, though, Jim, at guarding smaller players on the perimeter when they're in their thoughts. And, again, this is Booker, Beal, and I guess KD smaller. He's not much smaller. But thinking they can get by him, they rarely do. He is so good now on the perimeter. So this idea, you're going to play him off the floor with speed. There were some playoff years with Utah where maybe you contended that, but also you had to point out the defensive guys around him. He is supremely good at that at an older point of his career. And if you're a Wolves fan and you're worried about that, stop worrying. He's great at that.
Well, and that's, you know, Terrence Mann, that game that Utah played against the Clippers, and that's the game that haunts.
Yep.
That haunts Rudy. And if you've never watched the game, you do not understand. Like, if you think that he got played off the floor, his teammates really let him down because they had a big lead in that game. And basically, you know, they were doing the spy Rudy concept, which they had done to a lot of success. They just put Rudy on the non-shooter, the Josh Okogie type of player. You know, when he was in Minnesota,
right,
they would put Rudy on Josh. And, like, basically they were daring you to, like, find Josh Okogie and let him shoot. And so that's what they did against Terrence Mann in that playoff game. But look, it wasn't Rudy's fault. And now this is a completely different team because Utah did not – they had one player that basically was an A-level player that from a defender standpoint. Minnesota has so many more options. Now Rudy can go out in coverage and understand there's going to be other people that are protecting the rim. How about the block that Ant had on Beal last night?
Oh.
I mean,
and the look at him.
Jaden's ability,
just the look
Jaden's
at him
ability,
after.
Yeah, Jaden's ability to protect the rim. Carl's back there. Nas is back there. And Nikhil's back there. So, anyway, I say that to say, Rudy, like, you're 100% right. Like, Rudy is a completely different player. And it's really a credit to Chris Finch and his coaching staff because Finchie was telling Rudy, Rudy wanted to do a lot of the same things they did in Utah, how they channeled everybody to him in the painted area.
Mm-hmm.
And they made they did a study in Utah where they realized that and I think they wanted the answer that they got. They every foot Rudy was away from the rim, the opponent's field goal percentage went up, you know, a percentage point or two for every foot. Anyway,
yeah.
But the thing about it, though, I think they wanted to try to find that number. But the thing for me is that Rudy was not willing to do it, but he does it now because they made him do it. They showed him that how important, like, yes, we can do some things you did in Utah, but you got to meet us halfway and do some of the stuff that we want to do here in Minnesota too. And so credit Rudy, but also credit Chris Finch and his coaching staff for coaching that player up.
Yeah. Last thing, I'll let you go. I fully expect Phoenix to come out and play great early, and I want to see the Wolves' composure. I want to see an environment that's not super hostile out there. It's not as loud as this place is, but it's still going to be fun. And if the Suns play strong, get out to a lead, which often happens if you're down 2-0 and you go back home, I don't want to see a lot of obsession with the calls and things like that. Be measured. Don't have it filled in the first half with a lot of finger pointing and all that stuff. That'll even show me a different level of maturity. I'll be curious to see if that does happen Friday night.
The team that is the most connected team in this playoff series is the Minnesota Timberwolves. You can tell I've got a friend of mine who does a lot of motivational speaking. He talks about code greens and code reds. And when you talk about code greens, you talk about touch points on the court, and you love it when your team, when someone makes a pass or someone scores, they're slapping high fives. They're acknowledging their teammates during free throw situations. They're communicating, and you flip the coin. The code red would be players bickering with each other, players bickering with the referees. That's why you don't want to see Towns and Ant like complaining all the time. You want to keep that cohesiveness, because let me tell you something. When you see a team that's that together, if you're the opponent, it's really demoralizing. And I just think when you watch this Timberwolves team, chat, they play with a lot of joy and they play for each other. And what Mike Connolly does for this team, the way that he sold out and dove for that ball from going out of bounds last night, I mean, that's a rallying cry, man. Those kinds of plays just bring a team together, and this team is completely bonded. It's just great to watch.
Look like me jumping in for the out of bounds, saving one of your drives.
From the tee?
That would be your risk. All right, sir. Travel safe, man.
Okay.
All right,
okay,
see ya.
Buddy. All right, see ya.
35 fast one. Jim Peet, Michael Grady, they're fabulous. So is Alan Horton. The Wolves have great broadcasters. Speaking of broadcasters, we started the show with the sad news about Al Shaver, legendary announcer for the North Stars. We talked about Al, and then Lou Nanny joined us spur of the moment, talked about Al. If you want to consume any of our segments, please, please, please do us a favor here. Podcast us, Chad Hartman Show. Follow us on the Instagram, Chad Hartman Show. Follow us on the Twitter machine, @Dave_Harrigan, @ChadHartmanShow.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Petty all day. It's 43 past one. Okay, we spent parts of four segments talking about Senator Nicole Mitchell yesterday. She's a state senator who broke in to her stepmother's place looking for belongings.
Allegedly.
If you believe one side of the story. Okay. If you believe another side of the story from the stepmom, that she's very afraid of Senator Mitchell and that she's provided her with some of the belongings she wants. Senator Mitchell then, just as our show was finishing, told some story about concern for a relative, Alzheimer's concerned, and had to make a decision.
Doing a wellness check.
Wellness, welfare check. Most of us, I guess, are capable of on a wellness welfare check in the middle of the night. I normally don't, though, get dressed in all black and cover my flashlight as I'm lowering myself into a window that looks like it's leading me into the basement.
Well, different strokes for different folks. She said she's not very good at this.
Yeah, she's not. So, and she also had told the arresting officer when she was apprehended, I'm not good at this. So she deserves her due process. Let me also add to a texter early in the Drusha show who was mad that I was talking about this and that Jason was talking about it and included the term good neighbor. First of all, you know, a lot of stations really are good neighbors, right? Helping out charitable causes, highlighting good people. And we do this here, so do a lot of places. Good neighbor can be good. You know what else good neighbor can be? Kind of boring. You know, there's a dual part of it. There's a greatness of good neighbor, and I think there's other folks who really want to hear rain totals. I really do. This show could be done today. I have no idea. It's not going to be a rain total sort of show. And as Jason pointed out to the texter, this is a public official. who's getting paid, who's voting on state issues. I heard another person calling Jason and say, only the constituents should be allowed to offer an opinion on this. Again, no. State official potentially breaking the law, facing a felony? No, we just have a difference of opinion. And as one of the two co-dictators of the show, along with you, Dave, I don't think our opinion is going
to
change.
No, I think it's okay to talk about a story involving a state senator with a alleged break-in. By the way, coming from a body, that being the state Senate, which is, I don't know, pretty close. Pretty close. You know, just, you know, the whole one DFL over the GOP majority.
It's a 34-33 majority.
Some political implications, I believe.
Again, if found guilty, it's a felony. No,
you don't want those.
We're not going to be the type of show. We are only going to comment when something's done. I find those shows. You get to disagree. I totally respect that you get to disagree. So the Republicans filed an ethics complaint. They want to get this baby going. Do they want to get it going because they really, 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 really want to find out the truth? They want to get it going because they want her isolated, embarrassed, and potentially thrown out. So, and then it's 33-33, and they can muck things up. They can stop things. It's no longer a trifecta.
Mm-hmm.
Are the Democrats really big believers, no matter what, in due process, due process, due process, due process? Not really. They want to keep their 34-33 majority. As we said yesterday, if the senator was a Republican, I believe these words would pretty much be the exact opposite from almost everybody involved.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, almost everybody. Thank God we still have some people who want to hold the standard. And the standard could be, that's a line, that's too far, she needs to go. Or if it would have been he needs to go. Others would say, due process, we got to wait. But let's not act like politics isn't all about this decision. So I guess I want to hear from people. 651-461-9226. Is it, as we suggest, I think, with Adam yesterday, that we know what the line is when someone cannot stay until the due process is done? I mean, can we come up with the entire, here's everything on the list to determine, even if somebody in the party you vote for, even if it's someone that you agree with, that we know that's too much. We know certain things that would stand out, but I don't know if we can come up with a standard list. What she's alleged to do is absolutely criminal. Absolutely. No doubt about it. Do we also have example after example of emotions and grief and poor decision-making over a death and a family issue? We do. But I think it's just, it's so predictably lacking character that your whole opinion is based on, she's on my team, she's not on my team. And that's how most of our texters seemingly are reacting. And that's how most people in St. Paul are reacting. But can we come up with the 20 things that would eliminate? We can think of certain things, but don't we have to handle it on a case-by-case basis?
Yes.
And shouldn't we expect to hear more from our officials to say, hey, guess what? This was so serious. I know this is going to cost us maybe some key things, but no, she has to go. And it could be either side. We just don't see enough of that, do we?
No. No, not by a darn sight.
And there's no signs it's going to change. You want to chime in? You can. 651-461-9226. Next week, at this time, Pella will probably be finishing my project at my place. The house I bought years ago already had a Pella. That was a part of the appeal. It wasn't the only thing, but it was a part of the appeal. But guess what? I've been in that house for a long time. and windows and doors, even as great as Pella, a business approaching a century in business, consistently ranked number one by customers in national surveys for innovation, in craftsmanship, in customer satisfaction. At some point, windows and doors just aren't going to hold up even with these great warranties. So I went to PellaNorthland.com. PellaNorthland.com. They came out to my house. They looked around. I thought I had an idea about certain windows. They had better information about certain windows. And guess what? Some changes are taking place. They have showrooms all across the state. Plymouth, Woodbury, Rochester. They'll come out, give you the free estimate. Maybe you don't need much. Maybe you need a little. Maybe you need a lot. They're great people. They're worth talking to. Reach out today. PellaNorthland.com. Among the texts on Senator Mitchell and what the bar should be, guilty until proven innocent, someone says. Compare this to a police officer shoots someone. They are put on administrative leave, so she should be put on administrative leave until it's solved. What if it wasn't solved for a year? Right? I mean, what's the line of how long?
Does that mean we boot her from a voting perspective, I guess?
So then the district's not represented? Right?
Yeah.
I correlate this to Trump, and I believe convicted of a felony, they should be thrown out. Integrity is missing in politics. Reading your text here. I'm pretty far left, but a crime is a crime, and the story about welfare check just makes it seem worse. She should get her day in court, but until found innocent, she should not be able to participate in any votes. Once the story came out, it's I think the overwhelming number of objective people said, really? This is the story? Maybe it'll turn out to be correct, but right now, I'm not buying it. Family matters can be dicey, and every situation different. People do strange things sometimes when the death of a loved one. I get her feelings about her father, but there's a better way to go about this than her lucid plan in the middle of the night. True. If she was a Republican, she would absolutely deny that she did anything wrong. Furthermore, the radical right would claim this is a family member and should not be public. More text. She did not get caught driving 73 in a 60-mile-per-hour zone. She broke into a house. Insane. I didn't even read what side she votes on. Don't care. She got caught red-handed. She shouldn't be in office. Heck, 80% plus of companies that do background checks wouldn't hire someone who did that or would put on non-paid leave till resolved. Well, if she was found not guilty, they would hire her. Many would put her on leave. That is also true. Let's pause here. Let's get to Susie and CBS. Linda's construction time checks, 58 past 1. Time to get your basement dry and get 75% off installation labor on LeafGuard gutters.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.